Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively at it. Pappas, sign on the wall says so. We're having crab cakes out here. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. I got my mask out. I am not holding my mask upside down like I did last week when we were up at Conrad's in Abingdon. We're in Cockeysville. Pappas, of course, down in Glen Burnie and Parkville. I've told the story with Justin Wendell about me eating the prime rib when I was 12 years old in Parkville. I didn't know it was Mike Bordick's favorite crab cake place here, and they told me that you were going to talk about the baseball warehouse. And then I start plugging the Beaumont and Catonsville, so you need to know what the steak looks like out there. We're going to be there next Thursday, so stop on by. Pete Carringi from the UMBC Mafia going to be over there with us. And Frank Kolarik, name came up. You're like, Catonsville? League of Dreams, right? Like, yeah. The whole deal. It's League of Dreams, right? It's
League of Dreams,
because, yeah, I keep thinking Field of Dreams. League of Dreams. I've had Frank on, and, of course, his boy throws it okay, too, right?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
You get involved, you get tangled in all these baseball things here, right?
Well, I want to tell you something. I guess about 16 years ago now, I was introduced to Frank Kolarik, and he asked if I'd come out and help with his nonprofit called the League of Dreams.
How old is his little boy at this point?
His son?
How old was his son?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, 16 years ago?
Yeah.
So he was a boy.
He was just a kid, right? He might have still been at Catonsville High School.
Okay.
He may have been. Golly.
So yeah. You've known him since he was a kid?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
So you're living and dying with him on the hill in the World Series?
He used to be me in the backyard, you know. He said, okay, Mike Bordick making a play. I'm like, well, you're left-handed, dude. Come on. I knew it was just blowing smoke. But, I got hooked up with Frank, and I just fell in love with his dream of giving kids with any special need opportunities to play baseball and softball. And we have since expanded a little bit. We worked with a CrossFit gym. We've done soccer. We had a great program a couple weeks ago over at UMBC. The baseball team, lacrosse, and the women's soccer team.
That made its way onto my social media feed as well.
It was unbelievable. We've done so many awesome things. I feel so proud to be a part of that and everything that Frank Kolarik has done.
All right, Baseball Warehouse. I know we were talking. I was kidding about Krivda earlier. Kids playing the game. I don't know if you have boys or girls. I don't know how old they are. I didn't Google you because I know you a little bit. Give me your movement through Baltimore over the last 20 years of raising a family where girls can get a lacrosse stick or a soccer ball or a basketball or softball, yeah. Or boys can get a basketball, a football, a wrestling mat, video games. Picking baseball as a child, and you'll have grandkids at some point, right? And you'll be the guy that played in the World Series and all that stuff. But kids in baseball, I don't even know where I would begin at this point because my dad, first off, I'm an Aparicio, so I was totally born into it. And I was raised by a father who loved baseball, who was a baseball coach, and he had a clicker. I still have my father's clicker.
Nice.
It's the last thing I have from my father, the clicker from when he was an umpire.
Nice.
So when I say clicker to a baseball guy, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Definitely.
Three balls, two strikes, the whole thing. So I was raised that way, and carrying my dad's the bag that had all the helmets, because my dad was the manager. We put him in the shed,
okay.
And I'm the bat boy, right? So that was me with baseball, collecting baseball cards, even your baseball card later on with Mike Gallego and others. I loved baseball. I'm at the point now when I put it on TV, I don't really recognize shift. I don't really recognize the game, the strategy. Certainly don't recognize when Frank's kid's pitching in the second inning because the starter is only going has 28 pitches in him. And then there's the part, and you're not broadcasting anymore, but the part where Bordy has to come on behalf of Masson and try to get me to gamble on it. You know what I mean? Like, that's been going on this year.
Year
has become this. I'm like, I'm 53 years old. I've loved baseball my whole life, and I have a lot of degenerate friends. Ask anyone. I know every degenerate in East Baltimore. Nobody gambled on baseball, ever. Like, ever. Maybe a dollar in the outfield on whether you were going to hit a home run and have a little fun. But, I don't know any hardcore. And now you take the pitching out of it. So when I'm thinking about it, if I'm a gambler, I don't recognize it. If I'm an Aparicio who loved the game and played it not as well as a Bordick, but loved it and been around it enough that I held microphones in front of you from the day you got here, and I was 29, then we're almost the same age. I don't know that I'm ever going to watch a baseball game again the rest of my life. I don't really know that I'm ever going to be engaged in it in that way. And I think if my son and his wife had a child, my son doesn't watch baseball. Baseball and kids and getting kids interested in it.
Yeah. Well, it's still a great game. And it's still my favorite game. I think, baseball has always kind of gotten back to the basics of it. I think there's a true passion for situational baseball, obviously, from us traditionalists.
There's not a lot of situations left other than hit it as far as you can.
It's become a colder type of game, and my hope is that it kind of reverts back. I will say this. The athletes nowadays are much better than they were, you know, 10, 20 years ago. They're bigger, stronger, faster. They may not be better situational baseball players, but it is a treat to watch what they can do on a baseball
field. How many years of minors for you? So you come out of Maine. I haven't looked at your... Did you play in Modesto and some of those places?
I did, yeah. yeah.
See, I had Baseball Digest when I was a kid now. I knew all the... Stockton?
No.
That was the Giants, right? No, the Modesto was the A's?
Stockton was the Brewers when I was there.
You know, go ahead.
Yeah, so I started...
I don't even know where the hell Modesto is. I just know it was in the book.
Yeah.
And you had to play there.
Modesto, California, man. The Big Valley, brother.
I'm going to Google exactly where you played now.
I'll tell you.
Go ahead.
Medford, Oregon.
Okay.
Rookie ball, then Modesto A's, which was high A. I went to Double A in Huntsville, Alabama. Then went to Triple A in Tacoma, Washington, and then made it up to the big leagues.
Never went to Rancho Cucamonga, so therefore...
I did not. No.
But I guess that's... I'm interjecting, obviously, even interrupting, but... You were taught how to play the game that way. Like, that's where you learned to play the game.
No.
The rocks on the field in Modesto and the bullpen that was off and, like, all of that, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think the foundation was laid at the University of Maine, to be honest with you. The fundamentals were just pounded into us up there. That's why we had
nothing else to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Snow.
Yeah, there was snow outside, so we had to work on it indoors. And that's where we...
Ground balls in the gym.
It wasn't a hard wood floor. It was a nice kind of a rubbery surface, but...
Bruises everywhere when it takes a bounce.
Yeah.
Look like Roger Dorn.
yeah, right? We mastered cutoffs and relays in there.
Right.
You know, we really were sticklers to situational baseball and understanding situations. And that's what I think helped me stand out going through the minor leagues, you know? I think a lot of times, obviously, skill sets kind of separate players, but knowing how to play the game properly is what really helped me, you know, kind of climb that ladder and then into the big leagues.
Well, then it's the other thing when you get into the box and you're trying to figure out pitchers and hit the ball. I mean, fielding, I can never understand why a guy's in the wrong place. Like, I knew this stuff when I was 8 years old. My dad told me about cutoff, like all of that.
Yeah.
I never can understand how big leaguers don't do that. I never can understand how Manny Machado couldn't run out of ground ball. Like that, those are
control, right?
Omission of effort, right?
I mean,
like literally effort. Rex Ryan would always say to me when I'd watch film with him out at the place, we don't coach effort around here. We don't coach effort. I'll coach anything but not effort. And there's the part of baseball that's the mind game that made Messina so good, right? And these guys so good about winning that mental battle, especially over 162 games. And part of that is decision-making, right? And knowing the game. Knowing everything situationally. It's the only way you can win in the big leagues,
Absolutely.
I believe, right?
Absolutely. And it's really the reason why we went wire to wire in 97. There were so many like-minded players on that team. Right, that knew where to be. I think that was the beauty of that team. A great group of veteran players, quality younger players as well that could step in when needed. But, yeah, winning teams know how to play the game. And I think there's a lack of that nowadays. I don't know that even guys know where to be many times because the shifts are so overwhelming. If a ball's hit in the opposite gap, a lot of guys never even get into the right position. And it's frustrating to see a baseball roll into the infield, which is commonplace now in Major League Baseball. You know, typically... No, the way I was brought up and a lot of the old school players was that ball should never touch the ground, man. Control the ball and you'll control the game. And you just see time and time again, balls rolling into the infield, cutoff men missed, guys out of position, and guys just running around the bases. Well, what good is the analytic base if you know, you're playing a game
I've seen
that
guys
way.
That can't execute a rundown.
Yeah,
like that's all. We played rundown in my alley when I was nine.
Pitbull, right? That was part.
Yeah.
That's part of baseball.
Yeah, I mean, like knowing how to execute a rundown and backing up on a rundown,
yeah.
Catchers, first baseman, pitchers, the whole deal. When I see a pitcher making $30 million a year, that's just decides not my job to back the catcher up. Like, come on, man.
Oh my gosh, right?
It's. I love baseball. Mike Bordick's here. I used to love baseball, but I wonder if I'm ever going to go back. I mean, I did 30 ballparks in 30 days in 2015.
You will.
30 ballparks in 30 days. That's airlines every morning, swabbing, tables, all of that. That's how much I loved baseball. and it's almost like the night I drank too much Grand Marnier down in Ocean City in 96. I haven't had it since. I sort of, like, that's enough, you know. But good baseball. And I guess this is where, you know, now that we're end, I'll ask the tough questions. Now with the Orioles, I mean, the Rutschman situation and Rodriguez, obviously the ownership, this poor manager who's given nothing and is expected to, it reminds me of Sam Perlazzo to some degree in that particular era, a good guy, maybe a good baseball manager, may have his career wrecked being here with 107, 110, 112. Like, this is a tough circumstance, and to go out and play these games, to be a player, it's tough to lose 107 games. Even if you're trying hard, being on a bad team is no fun, even for the poor guys, right?
Oh, it is really hard. And you see the kind of toughness it is because nobody wants an Oriole. Come trade time, it's tough to move players. I think players hopefully kind of increase their value. And I think the philosophy right now is that, you know, the Orioles will trade guys away to try to stockpile minor league players, right? Because that's really what their MO is right now. They want to have a strong minor
bodies.
League system. Yeah, in the minor leagues. So I don't know that we can kind of knock the major league team at all. I think
what's
unfortunate,
though... Well,
they're
not trying. I said it's easy to lose if you're not really trying.
You're right. And unfortunately, that's kind of why we're in a lockout right now. Because there are teams that just aren't really trying, and it's unfortunate. That competitive balance needs to be fixed.
Were you a MLBPA guy? I mean, were you? What teams
went through
were
you? The strike with the A's in 94?
You were the rep?
95. I was an assistant rep.
Assistant
so
rep.
I got
okay.
to sit in on a lot of those meetings, and understanding you know the reason why.
Well, here's where I am, and I've had a couple of guests. By the way, Mike Bordick is joining us here. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play. We're up at Pappas. We do have a crab cake, and I put it far enough away that I'm not spitting all over it. It is delicious. I can't wait to get into this, but we're too busy talking baseball to be eating crab cakes right now. We'll do that a little. Crab cakes, beer, and baseball. Maybe
there
it's a Friday
go,
afternoon
right?
here. I had Robbie Inchmikowski on this week, who is the Pirates he works like for the Masson for Pittsburgh, AT&T, Root, whatever they are. And we started talking about this. And last week I had Maury Brown from Forbes, and I also had I'm going to have Barry Bloom on from the AP, and Eric Fisher, who's a real insider, was a part of the Washington Times when the Nationals came, a lawyer himself by trade. So I talked to these guys. I said, look, I'm not watching enough baseball to know what the issues are, okay? I remember the issues in 81. My father canceled the Sporting News because he was so pissed at baseball. He took it out on the Sporting News in 81. You're a kid. I'm a kid. We remember that. Baseball's taken away. Then 93 happens, right? You're in the middle of that, right? So you say you're a player rep in 93 or 94. I'm figuring you're in the soup. You delivered the baby, kind of, sort of. Well, you knew Marvin Miller and Donald Fear and all that went into that. When I see this in 2021, and I don't know much, but I know they're all making money off of BAM and marketing and TV and all, and they don't even need to sell tickets, right? That they're whole, unlike in the 70s where they might have been upside down other than selling the team. I don't understand the issues well enough, and I don't understand the players well enough to know that some Mark Belanger would come to you when you're a kid and saying, this is the way we do it here.
Yeah.
And we do it that way because I knew Curt Flood. And I knew Steve Carlton, and I knew Andy Messersmith, and I knew Reggie Jackson, and I knew all of those cats, and I knew Don Baylor. He's right over there. And you want to talk to Dusty Baker? Go talk to Dusty about how Hank Aaron was treated.
Yeah.
So there was all of this piss and vinegar with the players ready to fight. 20 years later, and you guys fought, and it was dirty. It was dirty everywhere around, but it needed to be for you to have no more reserve clause, right? Like all of that went into it. What's the belly for these kids? You've spent the last 15 years banging around. Is Manny Machado going to step up and say, I'm not going to take my $42 million this year? And I'm like it's a different breed of cat than
it really is.
Jack Morris be hanging around with you guys,
no,
right? And Tom Glavine
right.
and those guys,
no,
right?
No, absolutely. Not many more of those hardcore, you know, union guys. But it seems like they held pretty firm last year. From what I understand, there's a pretty strong union presence right now with the players. You hope that the veteran guys are able to kind of sway some of the younger players, because my concern is the league is being taken over by young players right now. And I feel like it's by design. You know, back in 94, it was collusion and they dropped the salary cap on the players.
Well, Adam Jones could have played in Major League Baseball the last 3 years. He could have helped the Orioles sell tickets. They absolutely made him go eat Kobe beef. He had a hell of a time over Japan. Good job, Ad. Yeah. Say hello to Audie. Right. And there's another guy that could never – I don't know Adam Jones. He could never talk to me. He wasn't allowed to talk to me. He was an Oriole of the era that he wasn't allowed to speak to me.
Yeah, great Oriole.
I hope that changes. I'm an admirer, but this is part and parcel. He could have been the veteran guy helping them if they weren't trying to lose 107, if they really were trying to win 81.
Yeah.
But they're not. They're trying to get the next Adley Rutschman. I mean, that's sort of the game, right?
Absolutely, and it's been the game for, 4 or 5 years now with the Orioles. And unfortunately, I think that's a lot of teams' games right now. And the fact that there are so many young players that, you know, on the Orioles right now that have no experience with these labor negotiations. So who's going to influence these guys when all of a sudden, you know, this potential lockout lasts into the season next year and they don't have any more money? Who, you know, so there's going to be I think the owners have always tried to break the union in that way. And I think they're in a stronger position to do so. And the fact that, you know, I think Major League players.
Well, they've destroyed minor league baseball, right? I kid you about Modesto and Rancho Cucamonga, but like, you wonder why these kids don't have the training. They don't care. They don't care that the cooks know how to cook in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Literally. That they don't care that you don't know how to play. They just care that you play pretty good and we don't have to pay you a lot.
Yeah. No, literally. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's unfortunate. And a lot of these young players are, they have no understanding of the, the past.
Well, that's where I'm getting involved in this, to say, like, who is going to stand up and fight the way a bunch of your dogs fought back in the day?
And every year there's a number of free agent veteran players that just don't get signed. You know, the guys that are supposed to carry that torch, and organizations are just saying, oh, the heck with those kind of free agents. Let's just keep checking the waiver
wire. We don't want the wise guys around here. They might teach these kids something, right?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to do much bashing on baseball. Obviously it's near and dear to my heart, always has been. But
you don't want to see it deteriorate.
There are a lot of I know the Orioles have let go every former major league player in their organization. There is not one former major league player in player development right now. So that kind of is a sign that of where they don't want them to be influenced by anything, you know, good or bad.
Right.
So it's kind of scary, I think, in that regard. And I think a lot of organizations are kind of doing it that way.
Anything you want to say about your exit in Masson, or coming back and having a microphone for this, or helping kids at the warehouse? I mean, what fills your days? Because
I'm not
going to be like little Nestor and say, when are you going to come back to my television set and call games?
Nestor,
because I think you're done with that.
20 years ago, you called me up and said, congratulations. Well, it might have been 30 years ago. Congratulations, you won the Nasty Nestor Nice Guy Award. So every
you
day.
You did win the Nice Guy Award.
When I look at that medallion.
Oh, my God,
medallion.
He was a Nice Guy Award winner. I forgot about that.
When I look at that medallion that hangs on my chest every day. Well, not on my chest, but my bureau.
Not this chest, chest.
I'm thankful for everything baseball's given me, and I'm thankful that I have an opportunity right now at the baseball warehouse to help young kids learn the game the right way.
Do what you like to do.
Absolutely. And I think it's important right now that this young generation does not get caught up in chasing numbers like bat speed, like spin rate on their fastball. I think staying healthy and enjoying the game of baseball from a traditional standpoint is going to be so important for this younger generation to carry the torch forward and really, you know, eventually, I think, make an impact on the game the right way.
Well, I appreciate you. I still love you. And, I miss you on the TV. And I'm not watching the game so much anymore. But thanks for coming out.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it, man. I've always enjoyed our relationship. I always felt it was unfortunate that you were on the TV. And I'm like, I used to know Mike. Maybe one day I'll know Mike again. I know Mike now, so it's good. We got a Pappas Crab Cake out here. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Leonard Raskin has joined us. Jim Reese is going to be here a little later on. I think John Kelly's going to stop by. Justin Wendell's been so kind. That's still hot, that crab. That plate's still hot. Wow, that means I'm going to eat it during the break. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I knew I was going to hold it upside down. Let yourself play. We're going to be playing next week at the Beaumont in Catonsville for my 30th anniversary. That's the 9th. And then on the 15th, we will be at Costas in Dundalk. Won't have guests as good as Mike Bordick, but we'll try. I mean, I'll try. Maybe I get Bilecki to come over to Dundalk. I don't know. I am Nestor. We are WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive on the Crab Cake Tour out here at Pappas.